Their reaction to the cross certainly suggested that I had encountered a group of survivors of a once Christian colony. Catholics? Even though the data in the comm log insisted that the dropship of 70 colonists who had crashed on this plateau 400 years ago had held only neo-Kirwin Marxists, all of whom should have been indifferent if not openly hostile to the old religions. I considered dropping the matter as being far too dangerous to pursue, but my stupid need to know drove me on. "Do you worship Jesus?" I asked. Their blank expressions left no need for a verbal negative. "Christ?" I tried again. "Jesus Christ? Christian? The Catholic Church?" No interest. "Catholic? Jesus, Mary, St. Peter, Paul, St. Tear?" The comm log made noises, but the words seemed to have no meaning for them. "You follow the cross," I said, flailing for some last contact. All three looked at me. "We belong to the cruciform," said Alpha. I nodded, understanding nothing. This evening I fell asleep briefly just before sunset, and when I awoke it was to the organ pipe music of the cleft's nightfall winds. It was much louder here on the village ledges. Even the hovels seemed to join the chorus as the rising gusts whistled and whined through stone gaps, flapping fronds and crude smoke holes. Something was wrong. It took me a groggy minute to realize that the village was abandoned. Every hut was empty. I sat on a cold boulder and wondered if my presence had sparked some mass exodus. The wind music had ended, and meteors were beginning their nightly show through cracks in low clouds when I heard a sound behind me and turned to find all 70 of the 70 behind me. They walked past without a word and went to their huts. There were no lights. I imagined them sitting in their hovels, staring. I stayed outside for some time before returning to my own hut. After a while, I walked to the edge of the grassy shelf and stood where rock dropped away into the abyss. A cluster of vines and roots clung to the cliff face, but appeared to end a few meters into space and hang there above emptiness. No vine could have been long enough to offer a way to the river 2 kilometers below. But the Bikura had come from this direction. Nothing made sense. I shook my head and went back to my hut. Sitting here, writing by the light of the comm log disk key, I try to think of precautions I can take to ensure that I will see the sunrise. I can think of none. Day 103. The more I learn, the less I understand. I have moved most of my gear to the hut they leave empty for me here in the village. I have taken photographs, recorded video and audio chips, and imaged a full holo scan of the village and its inhabitants. They do not seem to care. I project their images and they walk right through them, showing no interest. I play back their words to them, and they smile and go back into their hovels to sit for hours, doing nothing, saying nothing. I offer them trade trinkets, and they take them without comment, check to see if they are edible, and then leave them lying. The grass is littered with plastic beads, mirrors, bits of colored cloth, and cheap pens. I have set up the full medical lab, but to no avail. The 70 will not let me examine them, will not let me take blood samples, even though I have repeatedly shown them that it is painless, will not let me scan them with the diagnostic equipment, will not, in short, cooperate in any way. They do not argue. They do not explain. They simply turn away and go about their non-business. After a week, I still cannot tell the males from the females. Their faces remind me of those visual puzzles that shift forms as you stare. Sometimes Betty's face looks undeniably female, and 10 seconds later, the sense of gender is gone, and I think of her, him as Beta again. Their voices undergo the same shift. Soft, well-modulated, sexless. They remind me of the poorly programmed home comps one encounters on backward worlds. I find myself hoping to catch a glimpse of a naked Bikura. This is not easy for a Jesuit of 48 standard years to admit. Still, it would not be an easy task even for a veteran voyeur. The nudity taboo seems absolute. They wear the long robes while awake and during their 2-hour midday nap. They leave the village area to urinate and defecate, and I suspect that they do not remove the loose robes even then. They do not seem to bathe. One would suspect that this would cause olfactory problems, but there is no odor about these primitives except for the slight, sweet smell of chalma. "You must undress sometimes," I said to Alpha one day, abandoning delicacy in favor of information. "No," said Al, and went elsewhere to sit and do nothing while fully dressed. They have no names. I found this incredible at first, but now I am sure.
"We are all that was and will be," said the shortest Bikura, one I think of as female and call Epi. "We are the 70 and 10.